Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're continuing with building this house of prayer. Amen? Amen. And if you're new with us, we've been doing this series where it's building on the Lord's Prayer. It's using the Lord's Prayer as kind of a blueprint for building this house of prayer. So I think it would be appropriate if we were to start out with the Lord's Prayer this morning. Would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay. So for the past few weeks, we've gone through these rooms, if you will, that are taking a phrase from the Lord's Prayer, and we learned about focusing on it in our rooms. We're taking a journey, if you will, through these rooms, and as we are, we're focusing and we're building our house of prayer. So these are all focuses that we can have while we're in our prayer closet. Amen? Now, this week's focus is on the warfare room. And as we said, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. This is the warfare room. Amen? Okay, you all know we live in a fallen world, right? And you all have to, you know, you don't have to just be oblivious to that. When you turn on the news, it's right there in front of you, right? The evil surrounds us. Every time you turn the news on, it seems like there's another bombing, another shooting, something, there's violence, and they take up the headlines in the news. But in the midst of this, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen? So Jesus overcame the evil one on the cross. The devil is a defeated foe. We need to remember that. He's a defeated foe. Nevertheless, this thing is still playing out in our world, isn't it? Evil still exists amongst us. Jesus overcame the evil one on the cross, and the devil is defeated. Nevertheless, he's still out there running rampant, doing his damage. Okay, so first of all, we know that there is an enemy. He's the enemy of our souls. And in fact, the Word of God calls him the God of this world. That's the reason why our world is in such a mess. The world system is evil because the ruler of the world system is evil. Now, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but the world system belongs to the devil. The wicked one is out there working his evil and blinding the eyes of people. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. Also known as Satan. Amen? Okay. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came to defeat the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's here to destroy. He came on the cross to destroy the works of the devil. Now, before he went to the cross, Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Who's them? Us. But that you would keep them from the evil one. Jesus prayed that we would be kept from the evil one. Prayer surrounded Jesus' life and ministry. He was always going up into the mountains and praying. He was praying in the garden. He's found praying many times. And before he went out and ministered, he was praying. He was seeking his Father always. And prayer was what protected him, and prayer was what empowered him, and prayer was what he was all about. Likewise, prayer is our home security system. Amen? You see all these advertisements on TV. They're fear-based, and they all want you to, you know, protect this, protect your identity, protect, you know, protect your home. And I'm not against these things. I think they're great, but the commercials tend to be fear-based, don't they? And but prayer is our home security system. When our home is surrounded with prayer, the angels of God are loosed, amen? And there are angels that are protecting us. It's an invisible realm that's going on out there. And there's a spiritual battle that goes on, but prayer is our home security system. It gives us strength, it gives us power for our mission and for our ministry. Okay, by going to the cross, Jesus completed his mission. And rising from the grip of death, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers of evil. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. So you may ask, why then did he leave them here? Right? Why didn't he just snuff the devil out? Well, remember, go back to the garden. Before the fall, Satan was here, wasn't he? That's right. Before the fall, Satan was here. So therefore, Satan is still here. You know, there could be several answers to why there is evil in the world, but probably the best and primary one is to give us a choice. God has evil to give us a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. Adam bowed his knee to the god of this world, gave up things to making Satan the god of this world when he bowed his knees, when he surrendered to him. He submitted to the wrong one, didn't he? So we still need to have a choice. And in having that choice, we can submit to God, as Pastor Josh said today, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? Amen? So take your choice, submit to God, and resist the devil. The two go together. It is a package deal. And as we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. So that's all part of God's plan, you see. Because someday, we're not going to be up in heaven just floating around someday, floating on a holy cloud, right? You know, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. This is just training, folks. This is just training for what's coming. And God is raising us up as warriors. He's instilling a warrior spirit in this place today. God is imparting a warrior, a fresh anointing, a new anointing. We need a new anointing for a new day. Amen. It's a new day. And God says, I'm going to give you a new anointing. He's saying, I want you to come up higher. Come up higher. Some of you are saying, what was the guy with the guy on the ladder this morning, right? I'll tell you, that was a prophetic gesture that God is calling us up higher, amen? He's calling us up higher. Don't get comfortable. You know, you're in God's army. You're God's army. And he wants to make you into a warrior, into an overcomer. We can't overcome unless we have something to overcome. That's how we become overcomers. So, how is it we overcome evil? Well, the battle we wage is a spiritual battle. That's what we need to realize. The Bible says here in Ephesians 6, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's what it says here in Ephesians. And in fact, I invite you to read the book of Ephesians afresh. Principalities and powers, these rulers of darkness, are mentioned at least three times. Three or four times it's mentioned in the book of Ephesians. Okay, so what it is these principalities and powers. Say, what are they? They're ranks. The enemy, these are fallen angels, folks. And they are in the spiritual realm, and they are God's enemy. And they are out to fight against us, fight against the church. But God's word says he's building his church. As we're in our house of prayer, he's building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what the word of God says. So they are ranked, much like an army is ranked, principalities. It talks about princes, like the Prince of Persia in the Bible. It talks about, in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2, that we were once all led astray by the prince of the power of the air, right? That's these principalities. And then there's powers under them and rulers of darkness, and they're ranked, like a private and a sergeant and so forth is ranked. They have rank, and they have a mission, and their mission is to take our souls to hell, folks. That's his mission. So we have to fight against it. It doesn't say we do not wrestle, period, and then stop. It says, no, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But we do wrestle. We do wrestle. In other words, don't fight in the flesh. Don't fight in the natural, in other words. Don't make it a natural thing. Don't just look, yeah, we're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen? And we need to realize that there is an invisible realm. So, do not, Jesus said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. So don't strike out against your brothers and sisters. Don't strike out against your coworkers and your bosses and your children and your parents. Don't strike out because, listen, folks, if there's something evil going on, if somebody's being evil towards you that day, there's something behind that. There's evil forces behind that. And sometimes it's just their flesh. But nevertheless, we don't fight flesh and blood. When you do, you compromise. We compromise our walk in the Spirit when we do that. It says walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, right? So, therefore, we want to love our enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. When you turn the other cheek, there is a power in that that is played out. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. And Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, and by that he means in a body, okay, we do not war according to the flesh. So we need to learn how to war in the Spirit. We must realize that there is this realm around us and realize that the enemy is behind these things. Okay, and we must know our authority. Because you say, well, I realize that, and I'm very scared. No, you need to realize that, but no, we have authority in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are his. You're in his army. You've been recruited, okay? And just like the military, we have to go through boot camp. We have to learn the weapons of our warfare. You know, in the army, I've never been in the army, but I've, you know, watched enough television shows to know about the army. Okay, my husband was in the army, and I know that they have drills. I know there's army drills, and you have to learn how to take your gun apart and put it together, and you have to know your weapons. We need to know the weapons of our warfare, folks, and we have to know our authority. Life is a battle, and the first battle is in our mind. In our minds. You see, because we have to become an overcomer in our thought life. In our thought life, fear, anxiety, and depression are among the enemy's weapons. And he throws them at us, doesn't he? And if we don't learn how to dodge the bullet and fight back in the spirit, we'll become spiritual basket cases, okay? So we need to learn how to fight in the spirit. The word of God tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to cast down thoughts and arguments and imaginations that rise up, that rise up. We have to cast them down. Even there's spiritual warfare going on all the time. Even while we're just praising God, right, these thoughts are coming in. They're not all evil, but many of them are distracting. We have to learn how to cast them down. We have to be willing to tell them to go. It's kind of like on your computer, you get those annoying pop-ups, right? Gosh, aren't they annoying? They pop up and they're interrupting what you're doing. You know, that's how our thoughts are. They're like pop-ups on our computer. They just pop up and interrupt what we're doing. And what do when that happens on our computer? We exit out, right? We hit the X button. We get rid of it. That's what we got to do. We got to exit out. We got to cast it down. And we got to replace it with a godly thought. You know, replace it to what God's saying. Replace it to thinking godly thoughts and what God is saying. And this is a spiritual discipline. But being in the army is a discipline. And also, we need to watch what we're feeding on. When we're feeding on the world's news all day, listen, folks, fearful, anxious, worldliness, it starts to seep into us. And before we know it, we're just thinking in the natural. And we start thinking that people are the enemy. And we start thinking that, oh, it's just the government. The government, it's our enemy. And we need to fight fire with fire. And people are out to get me. And everybody's the devil. You know, and we just begin to think in the natural. And my wife's the devil. And my husband's the devil. They're all the devil, right? You know, did anybody ever get there, you know? And it's like, you just can't be feeding on this stuff. And let me add this. Don't be buying into and feeding on conspiracy theories. Okay, they'll just get you all worked up if you dwell on that kind of stuff, and they'll get you all anxious. I've heard a lot of them. You know, I look into that stuff too, such as secret army men coming to get you in the night, FEMA death camps or death domes, ice cream truck morgues, China command centers and Walmart. Yeah, it's all out there. You can see it online. If you feed on this kind of stuff, it will rob you of your peace in Christ Jesus. We cannot feed on that stuff. The bottom line is, trust God. He's our protector. Feed on the word of God. Feed on his promises. Isaiah 8:12 says, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. Isaiah 8:12. God has not given us a spirit of fear, folks, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. But it doesn't have to be conspiracy theories. All you got to do is turn on the news, right? You can get all worked up on the evening news. The headlines are full of evil reports, terror attacks. I mean, I try to turn on in the morning to see what's going on. You know, but the first thing I hear is, you know, now there's a shooting in Louisiana. You know, and there's beheadings and the national debt totals. That's enough to scare the daylights out of you, right? Corruption in high places, injustice towards the innocent, just to name a few. If you feed on this long enough, it will rob you of your peace in Christ. Don't feed on it and don't dwell on it, okay? Peace of mind is found in Christ Jesus and his word, and not on the evening news and not on the internet. Put your faith and trust in God, and he will protect you. Dwell on his word, not on the what-ifs. The devil's in the what-ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What are they doing here? What are they doing? Don't go there. So, what are we to do about the evil in this world? Get dressed and ready for battle. And use your God-given authority to resist the evil one. God has equipped us with everything we need to stand in the evil day. We are the Lord's army. So, we've been recruited, and God is continuing to recruit for his army. You know, Al-Qaeda might be recruiting, and ISIS might be recruiting, but I'm here to tell you that our God is recruiting. Amen? Amen. And his army will not fail. We are in the Lord's army. We're on the right side, and we win, folks. We win. So that's what we need to get in our mind. We must take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having to done all to stand, stand. Let me read to you from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Just listen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having to done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the armor of God. This is what we need to be equipped in and what we need to learn about. Our waist needs to be girded with his truth, okay? A gird goes all the way around you. It surrounds you. His truth needs to surround us, folks. It needs to be the thing that we dwell on, the thing that we put to memory. You know, memory verses are not just for children. Did you know that? They're not just for children. We need to learn the word and put it down to memory and let his truth surround us. And we need to proclaim his truth. Proclaim the things that God speaks to you. Proclaim his word over your circumstances and watch them change. We need to watch the words of our mouth. Life and death, Proverbs tells us, is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat its fruit. You will. The things we speak, they're seeds and they grow. And we have power in those words. So we need to speak the truth. Because otherwise, you can end up with some really a rotten fruit. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. This is knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not of our own. Our own righteousness, as the Bible says, is filthy rags. Just filthy rags. You know, but his righteousness, what he did for us. Righteousness equals right standing with God. Right standing with God. If we sin, we confess our sin, we repent of it, and we get it under the blood, and then we have no shame, and we can stand with that breastplate of righteousness over us that protects our heart, that will protect us from the weapons of the evil one, the arrows that fly by day and by night. And then we need to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Put on our spiritual shoes, right? This is like walking across the room, like we just learned in our last elements segment, that if we're willing to just get up and walk across the room and just take a moment to share with somebody, we can share our testimony. Doors, ask God to open a door, and we can share our testimony. We can share what God did for us. Or we can listen to what they're going through, and then tell them how God brought you through the same. You know, it's easy to do, folks, because it's like the same things I'm going through, we all go through similar things, might not be identical, but we all go through similar things, similar tests, similar trials. If you've come through and you had a victory, you have a testimony to share. And there is victory in that testimony. There is power. The Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It is a weapon of our warfare. And the shield of faith. This is our defensive weapon that we can throw up when those fiery darts come our way. We throw up that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for you and me. His blood is all over that shield, and it will resist all the fiery darts of the enemy, all the terrors of the night, all of the arrows that fly by day. That faith in him, he will reflect it. He will stop those arrows. He's our big brother. He's the one that protects us. Amen? He protects us. When I was a little girl, short story, I'm going to keep my stories minimal because I have so much material today that I know the Lord wants to give to you. So I'll keep my story short. But when I was a little girl, I lived in kind of an abusive home. My father was a drinker, and God bless him, but he would get drunk sometimes and beat my mom. And it was a scary thing. It was an evil thing. And as I was a little child growing up in that home, it would have probably affected me a whole lot worse than it did if it hadn't been for my big brother, Mike. My brother, Mike, he would protect me. And he would grab me, and when he'd hide me, he would hide me out. And he'd shelter me from this stuff. And he was my protector. And you know, when I was 12 years old, he got married and left the house. And I actually later found out I had to get delivered from a spirit of abandonment because I felt like my brother left me. It was kind of a subconscious thing, but I was all left to fend for myself then, you know. But years ago in my Christian life, in my adult life, there was some evil going on in my family. And I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you tell me? You said you'd share your secrets with me. Why didn't you tell me this? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, because I'm your big brother. And it just made me, it broke me, and I wept, and I was so healed at that moment. Just another layer of healing that I'm not abandoned. I have my big brother, Jesus. He is your big brother. He will protect you. He will shelter you. See, the big brother is the one that protects and hides and keeps you safe, or is supposed to. And if your earthly brother hasn't done that, or your father, our heavenly father, our heavenly brother, they do it right. Amen? They do it right. So we don't have to think, that we have to know everything. You know, what's going on out in the world? We don't want to know. Folks, you don't want to know. Trust me. All of us, it's too big for our shoulders. We don't need to know all that. Okay, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. No, we need to be informed. But let God hold back and protect us. He is our shield of faith. Amen? Amen. And put on your helmet of salvation. Know that you are blood bought, and you are under that blood, and that's what you wrap your mind up in. Is the helmet of salvation, that you are saved, that you are in that number, amen? And because of that, you remember who you are. You remember who you are in Christ. And so we need to have that helmet on our mind. And the sword of the Spirit. This weapon is offensive as well as defensive. So we must speak out the word of God against the enemy. Jesus used the word when he was tempted. When the devil came and tempted him, Jesus attacked him back with, it is written. It is written. And the enemy backed down every time when he lifted up the word of God. It is written. That's why we need to have that word in our hearts so the Holy Spirit can bring it up at the right time so that we can use it as a weapon against the enemy. You know, David, remember King David in the Old Testament? He started out as a little shepherd boy, but God made him into a warrior, right? You might say, well, you know, I'm just a little young person, or, you know, I'm just a housewife, or, you know, I'm just a factory worker, or I'm a farmer, or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. God will make you into a warrior. He's in the warrior business. And as we have the word of God in our heart, we're able to pull it out. Like David had 3 stones. Did you know that? 3 stones. And you know, the enemy tried, or Saul rather, King Saul, when he recruited David or accepted David's volunteerism to take out the giant, he said, here's some of my armor. Put it on. David said, I can't wear this. This doesn't work for me. See, we can't wear the world's armor. We can't do it the world's way. We got to do it God's way. David had a slingshot and three smooth stones, but only took one to knock out Goliath. Only one to take out the enemy. As we take out that word and sling it, it becomes like a slingshot. It becomes a stone that takes out the enemy. It is a powerful thing. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And also, we need to war with prophecies. When God speaks something to you, whether it's in your own prayer closet, a rhema word that comes alive to you, that's quickened to you, or whether it's something our prophetic team says to you that goes off in your spirit. You know, these are things that are God's word. War with them words. War with them words. They're not going to just happen because God said it. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Okay, war with the word of God. Confess it out loud. Proclaim it. When doubts come, and they will, when confusion comes, and it does, then speak out those words. Say, "Oh, but God, you said. But God, you said. And I'm standing on your word." That's how we war with the word. And then the enemy backs off. See, he backs off. Without these pieces of armor in place, you will be vulnerable to the enemy. We need to daily remind ourselves of these armor pieces. And we need to make confessions of our mouth and adhere to them. And in doing so, we will be dressed and ready for battle, and we will be able to stand against the enemy in the evil day. In the evil day. You say, "Well, what is an evil day?" Do you ever just have a bad day? That's an evil day, right? That's an evil day. And by having this armor in place and remind ourselves of it, we're going to be able to stand. Okay, another weapon of our warfare is the God-given ability to bind and to loose. Jesus said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have the ability to bind and to loose. He's given us that authority. Matthew 12:29 says, "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" So we need to bind up the enemy. We need to stand against those spirits. Recognize, you say, "Well, how do I know what spirit it is?" You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know what it is. You know, if it's manifesting itself in pride, it's a prideful spirit. If it's manifesting itself in lust, it's a lustful spirit. If it's manifesting itself with fear and anxiety, it's a spirit of fear. You know, so then you come against it. You say, "Spirit of fear, go in Jesus' name." And that's how we do battle over our own mind. But that's also how we can do battle for our loved ones. You know, most of you know that Justin was caught up in drugs for many years, and Mike and I would pray together every day. We would pray for him. And throughout the day, we would pray for him. And many of you prayed for him. And it wasn't just, "Please God, help him." That was part of it. But part of it was coming against these spirits. And the Lord would show me stuff. He would show me stuff in the spirit that he was into, and I'd take authority over it. So what was that? A spirit of addiction. So you bind that spirit of addiction. You say, "Well, how often?" Often. Often. You know, the minute I'm binding and he was out doing something to loose it. You know, so you do as much as you can think of. You can't do it often enough. And then pray. And it gets the devil off their back enough that maybe God can get in there. And pray that he sends perfect laborers into his midst. And he did. He sent Hans Hokinson, who brought him to church the day that he got saved and that he got free and he gave his life to God. And now he's a mighty, mighty man of God, just like Josh. You know, God told me he was going to rouse my sons for his purposes. Both my sons, it's in Zechariah chapter 9. He was going to rouse my sons for his purposes, and he will rouse your sons. He will rouse your daughters. He will rouse your children. He will rouse your brothers and sisters. As you war for them, God will rouse them for his purposes. You see? And then it says, it goes on to say, I will make you into a warrior's sword. You become a sword. You become a sword. You become a weapon of God as you stand against the enemy. Amen. Amen. Okay, I got excited about that one. All right, so the next one is fasting. Fasting is a weapon of warfare. You might have never thought about it that way, but it is. Because when you add fasting to prayer, it like makes it a whole lot bigger, okay? It's a way of, it's not twisting God's arm. You know, sometimes, I'll fast, I'll twist God's arm. No, he's more than willing. You know, but we're wrestling in prayer. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. We're wrestling. You know, sometimes the message is sent, but those princes of whatever, of arcade, are holding it back. You know, we have to fast and pray, and God will bring the answer. Amen? We fast and we pray, and it's a wrestling, and we wrestle against our own fleshly nature because our flesh is saying, I want the cookie, okay? I want the cookie. And I want it now, right? But as you tell your flesh, no, you're not having the cookie, and then use that hunger pain to pray. Use it to pray right then. And you will get, so you know, it really, it's just the first day that you really are hungry, right? Then your stomach kind of shrinks, that's not so bad. But at any rate, if you have health issues, you're going to have to ask your doctor before you do all that. But fasting, or fast television, turn it off, right? And pray. God will use it, and it is powerful. It is a weapon of our warfare. You know why? Jesus said, when his disciples came and said, why couldn't we cast those demons out? We tried. We followed the formula, right? We did what you said to do. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus said, some of these do not come out but by prayer and fasting. Yeah. So we have to pray and we have to fast as much as we don't want to. Okay, so next, we're looking to hit a little bit on warfare praise. Thank you to Pastor Scott and the worship team who led us in this morning. But I'm going to highlight some weapons that are in your, that are at your charge that you may not have known about. Or you might have known about them, but not really known how to use them all effectively, right? And so we're going to talk about some of that, but praising God is a weapon of our warfare, and the Bible says that the Lord is a warrior in our midst. He is a warrior in our midst, here to save us, amen? And during Old Testament times, Jehoshaphat's army, they put the praisers out on the front lines. Why? Because there is such a spiritual weapon in praise. Because when you praise God, the enemy flees. And when they did that, when they put them praisers in the front lines, the Word of God says the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. So likewise, when we praise, the Lord arises in our midst, and the powers of darkness must flee. Praising God makes the enemy back down and shut up, right? So the Bible tells us in Psalm 149:6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. Our praise becomes that weapon against the powers of darkness. Now, sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like it. But as you lift up that sacrifice of praise, oh, it is a wonderful thing to God, and it will deliver you. The Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It will deliver you from that evil. Amen? Amen? It will. So it's just a matter of doing it, of making it, letting your spirit arise and your flesh submit. Therefore, we will have depression lift. We will have fear lift. We will have these things lift as we war. Okay, now there's a few other elements of praise, warfare praise, that I want to bring to your attention. There's clapping. Now, you might just think of clapping as giving God a hand, right? And sometimes that's appropriate, you know. And in the natural, we applaud, you know, when somebody did a good job. We give them a hand, amen. But I'm going to give you something here that's a little tidbit a little secret of the mysteries of God, right? That's something that he wants us to be aware of. And that's clapping. It, the word clap is taga, and it's the Hebrew word that is the same word for when Jael put the tent peg through Sisera's temple. That word is the same word. That word strike. It's like strike. It's a clap. It's that, that is, get the revelation. That when God releases, now it's not all the time, okay? But when God releases his spirit of warfare among us, when he wants to arise, you know, the anointing takes on different, there's different anointings, right? It depends on really what mood God is in, okay? I didn't say he's moody, but he has moods. He has things he wants to do. Our job is to find out what mood are you in, God, right? And when he says, I want to arise as a warrior like he does today, our job is to cooperate with him in that. We are co-laborers with God. We co-labor. It's not that we're doing it. He's doing it, but he uses us. Just like you lay hands on the sick and they recover. We're not doing it. He's doing it, but we're cooperating with him, right? We're being his instrument. It's the same way with warfare praise. As we clap in warfare praise, and you're fighting the enemy, you know, you have in mind a battle you're going through, or a battle your kids are going through, whatever it might be. And then you begin to clap to the Lord. And as you do, get the picture that you're striking that tent peg through the enemy's temple. You're putting him out. Not you, but the Christ in you. Amen? It's the Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? So clapping is one of the weapons of our warfare. Another is dance. Now, dance can be a beautiful thing, you know, in worship unto God. But when there's a warrior anointing, dance takes on a warfare kind of stance. The Bible says we tread on snakes and scorpions. Amen? So you can tread in your, it's like we saw today with Ray. It was a prophetic gesture of him on the ladder. There's prophetic gestures. And as you stomp in praise and get the revelation that the enemy is under our feet. You know, all things are under Christ Jesus' feet. We're his body. It's under your feet. The enemy is under your feet. You can trample him in Jesus' name. And there is also the shout. The shout. We were shouting today. We were shouting. Sometimes we just shout, glory! Sometimes we shout, Jesus! Right? There's power in the name of Jesus. And as we shout, it's like the walls come down, like in Jericho. When they went around the wall, and they were blowing their trumpets, the seventh time, they released a shout. And when they corporately released the shout, the walls fell down. I'm here to tell you that there's a corporate anointing here, that as we release the shout of God, that the walls will come down. There's walls around our community. There's walls in your family. There's walls even within the church. There's walls that are trying to stop people from come to know Christ. And there's walls of division, even between denominations, trying to stop us from becoming that full army and full body that we're to be. But as we raise up a shout, the walls come down. Amen. Jesus is going to return with a shout, the Bible says in Revelation, with a shout. Hallelujah. And there's musical instruments. Praise be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands to war and my fingers for battle. There's many meanings to this, and the revelation is endless. But if you play an instrument, God can anoint your instrument, right? And it becomes a spiritual weapon for battle. He can train our hands to war and our fingers to fight in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. David knew how to operate in this as well. When King Saul was tormented by the enemy, he learned to call on David because the Lord would anoint David when he played his harp. And there was a psalmist ministry. And when that went forth, it delivered Saul from the wicked and evil spirits. It is a weapon of warfare. Banners and flags are another. And this is my last one I'm going to review with you today. For some of you, this has been review. For some of this is new. But banners and flags, this was something, a revelation that Moses got when he was in battle against the Amalekites. And remember, during that battle, as long as his arms were raised up, they would win. But when his arms came down, they would lose. And so Aaron and Hur came and would lift up their arms and hold up Moses' arms. And as they held up his arms, they prevailed and they won the battle. So then Moses built an altar to the Lord and he called it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. Because he got a revelation that the Lord is like a victory banner over us. That his wave of victory, he has the victory. His banner is high and flying over us. That's why banners and flags, they can have many meanings. But they can be that waving that victory banner over us. That we are, that Jesus is our victory. That Jesus is ruling and that he is over us. Hallelujah. These are some of the weapons of our warfare. We need to get dressed and we need to sharpen our sword. Amen? It's just time to stop letting the devil punch us around and push us around. We need to take up the whole armor of God that we may stand. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Well, Pastor Scott's got, a song or songs for us. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And the Lord's going to be releasing a warrior anointing afresh upon you, I believe. A corporate anointing for warfare. The Bible tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So God is releasing a corporate anointing to do damage to the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. So as we go to these into this song, I invite you to use your armor, use your weapons, use the clap in a different way, use the shout, use whatever it is, and as you do, realize that the Lord is setting ambush against the enemy. Amen. That he is releasing a warrior anointing. I just want, put your hands up. I'm going to pray a prayer and ask the Lord to release that anointing for us today, okay? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are a warrior. You are a warrior. That you are coming back with a shout. We thank you, Lord God, that you have your people dressed for battle today. And Lord, we stand today on the front lines with you, Lord God. And we know that the enemy has been running rampant. But Lord, we pray that you would use our praise today and that you would set ambushes against the enemy. Lord God, you know the battles that these people are facing. You know the battles. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, release now. Release now. A fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a warrior anointing for a new day, a new anointing, a fresh anointing. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Say, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Jesus! Jesus! Hallelujah!
The enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down.